This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Waverly Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the bases are loaded for the Red Sox and Rafael Devers. Nunez, the key man at third. Here's the 2-1. Ground ball chopped and into right field, and the Red Sox win it. They walk it off tonight. Devers, the star. His first career walk-off RBI, and the Red Sox win it 7-6.
Flag up, put it up. The Red Sox gonna win. There you go, 4-9. Yeah,
they're back, Maz.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Season's getting turned around with that win last night.
All right, here we go. You know what? That's I'll tell you what. One of the great cliches in baseball is, yeah, Alex. Do you think that's the win that can get you guys going? How many times have you heard that one? Yeah, Zed can use that game as a springboard. Let me read you a quote from Xander Bogaerts last night at Fenway Park. We can get some sleep, Bogaerts said. We won. We can get some sleep. We won. So let me ask you, Red Sox fans, and we'll be with you until 7 o'clock tonight. No baseball reporters last night, so now's the time to get in and talk about your team. And remember, this is the only place in town where you can talk baseball every weeknight, basically, from 6 to 7 during the baseball season. And given that it's playoff time, and we have a full plate here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are your home for Bruins playoff hockey. We are your home for Celtics playoff basketball. We are your home for Patriots draft coverage. And we're your home for baseball talk. Okay, but this is a busy month. So between the Bruins playoffs, the Celtics playoffs, the draft, there are going to be fewer opportunities to talk about your team. So if you want to do it, at least during the month of April, now's the time to do it. 617-779-0985. So I admit I was a little over the top there at the beginning of the show. Red Sox won a game last night, and it was a good win. They come back and beat the Toronto Blue Jays. They were down 5-0 in that game. The Red Sox come back. They tie the game at 5. Then they fall behind again in the late innings, and they win it in the bottom of the ninth by getting a pair of runs home to win the game 7-6. Okay, so a good win. But before we go too far and suggest that the Red Sox now somehow have turned some kind of corner, don't take this too far. Okay, and while we're going through this, I'm going to ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy, in the system, there's a cut called Cora 2, where he talks about the team beginning to show flashes after last night's win. If you could grab that, let me know when you have it. But in the interim, here's what I want to tell you. Take a good look, and then we'll get to your calls. Take a good look at the Red Sox wins so far this year, and tell me if there is any reason, really, for you to get all geeked up about it. They're 4-9. First of all, no matter what happened last night, 4-9 is 4-9. So I wouldn't celebrate too many victories, too many walk-offs, too many signs of character. I wouldn't celebrate any of that until the Red Sox actually get a little bit on some kind of roll and actually get their heads back above water.
Yeah, how about to 500?
Okay, so as it is right now, there's still 5 games under Murray. So again, this is what happens when you dig yourself a hole, that the individual wins all of a sudden don't really even mean all that much. But nonetheless, I'll tell you what, let's look at the 4 games the Red Sox have won this year. Friday, March 29th at Seattle, 7-6, same score as last night. You know what happened? They won that game late. Mitch Moreland hit a pinch hit 3-run home run. Otherwise, they would have lost. At Oakland on April 3rd, they won the game 6-3. They won that one late. Mookie Betts hit a ball that struck the bag at third base. Struck the bag. Otherwise, Matt Chapman, is it Matt Chapman? Third base, is that right? Third baseman for the Oakland A's?
Yeah.
for some reason, I heard Matt Chatham in my head right there. That was weird. The third baseman for Oakland.
Means you fell asleep.
Who's a gold glover. The ball hits the bag, gets by Chapman. Red Sox win that game. So, again, late. Sunday, April 7th at Arizona. A 1-0 game that was a bullpen game started by Hector Velasquez, in which the only run of the game was scored on a wall-scraping home run by Mitch Moreland that just missed the glove of Adam Jones. Okay, so they won that game 1-0. And then last night, 7-6, walk-off fashion against the Blue Jays after being behind 5-0 and 6-5. And the Blue Jays suck. They suck. We can say that somewhat definitively. Now the Orioles come in here, and this is another bad baseball team. And this is a four-gamer, right? It's the holdover on Monday for Patriots Day.
Right.
And then the Red Sox will go to New York. But think of it. If you can really beat the crap out of this Baltimore team, you could be 8-9, maybe 7-10. And I'm talking, because it's not beyond the realm of possibility for the Red Sox to sweep the Orioles. Last night after the game, even Alex Cora knew not to take it too far.
For me, it's a win and we move on. I mean, obviously, we know where we're at, but you know, we don't get caught up in that. You know, I think that's where everybody else talk about it. We understand that we're not playing good baseball, but there were some flashes today.
Okay, so did you hear him there? We're not playing good baseball. Cora knows it. They're still not playing well. They're not pitching well, and that's the big thing. And we'll get to Nathan Eovaldi in a minute, because to me, he's worthy of shows, let alone a segment. But, you know, we're going to have to split things up because, again, we didn't have a program last night. And so we're going to try to catch up on a number of things. But that's where we are right now. 4-9, walk-off win. But take a good look at those wins. Take a good look at all four. They are all by your fingertips, white-knuckle wins. Every single one of them. Dare I say, and I know this is hyperbole, but dare I say that the Red Sox could actually be 0-13? Like, the fact that they're 4-9...
You don't have to dare to say it. It's not that much of a stretch at all.
The fact that they're 4-9, they're almost lucky to be 4-9, Murray. They really are. That's how badly they've played here in the early part of the year. So let's get to your calls. Miles is in Texas. Go ahead, Miles.
Hey, yeah. I totally agree with you, Maz. It's just ridiculous. The wins that they have already are all so terrible. But I'm just hoping maybe some motivation is if Alex Cora starts posting up the pictures in the office of all the wins like he did last year. It might motivate him a little bit more to, get a little bit more pictures on the wall.
Okay, so look, Miles, I'm honestly not all that into gimmicks. It's nice for team bonding and stuff like that. But the reality is the number one reason the Red Sox are where they are right now is their starting pitching has been garbage. Absolute garbage. Horrendous. They're starting pitching, and that will bury any team, not just the Red Sox. So I heard Beatle say this today on the midday show, Mark Bertrand, and it's a good observation. They've shown life in some of these games. I mean, really, again, one of the hallmarks for them last year was the ability to come back late, and they have shown some of that this year. Again, the game in Seattle, Mitch Moreland bailed them out. And look, a lot of this comes back to Moreland, but nonetheless, 3-run home run in Seattle. Mookie Betts hit a ball off the bag in Oakland late. That was in the ninth inning, too, if I'm not mistaken. So they won that game in the ninth. They won last night's game in the ninth. And the other one they won in the late innings on the home run by Moreland to right field. So Moreland has been in the middle of all of it. But nonetheless, there has been some late drama. That is a good sign if you want to focus on positives. But they're behind every night. Murray, what was the stat you had earlier? They haven't had a lead in the sixth inning all year?
Yeah, that is correct. Let me pull this up for you, because it's pretty damning, as are many of the statistics surrounding this year's Red Sox team so far.
Because the home run Moreland hit in Arizona in the 1-0 game, I believe, was in the seventh.
Yeah.
So the Red Sox have not had a lead in the first six innings of any game this year. Is that right?
From the third inning through the eighth inning, the Red Sox have had the lead just twice this season. The seventh and eighth inning of that 1-0 win against Oakland.
Okay, so from the third to the eighth. That's right, because they did have a game in Seattle where they scored early and then gave the lead back. So, but really...
So another way to put it is the Red Sox had the lead in two out of 78 innings this season.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Really, it's been that way. They've been running
between
uphill.
Between the third and eighth.
Yeah, they've been running uphill out of the gate. And I want to get to the starting pitching because that's obviously the big thing here in the early part of the year. We're going to get to Nathan Eovaldi specifically. So let's get this out of the way because we've been getting these calls all week. We've been getting them on the afternoon show a couple of times today. Let's get it out of the way now. Greg's in Ashburnham. Go ahead, Greg.
How you doing, Maz?
Good.
Listen, I'm wondering, do you think in your opinion that the catching situation has hurt the starting pitching? Because didn't Sandy and Leon have the pitchers had a better ERA when he was catching?
They did.
They did. So that could be part of their problem. Same part, not all of it, obviously.
Okay. So, Greg, I'm glad you phrased it the way you did because you said part of the problem, not all of it. Is it a part of the problem? Sure. Probably. But again, the Red Sox knew that going in. They knew Christian Vasquez was a better defensive catcher than Blake Swihart. They knew that decision when they kept Swihart on the roster and tried to get Leon through waivers, which they did and got him to the minor leagues. We had a caller today, and Tom and Quincy late in the program made fun of him, quite effectively, by the way. We had a caller today who said something like, Sandy Leon's war last year's defensive war was 0.8. Now, I'm not entirely sure whether that's good or bad because I'm not a war guy. But when I hear that type of logic, it suggests to me that Sandy Leon would fix the problem. So what I would say is if Sandy Leon is that good, how did he get through waivers and how is it that nobody claimed him? And furthermore, Chris Sale's a veteran pitcher. David Price is a veteran pitcher. Rick Porcello's a veteran. In fact, I would really go so far to say now that Eduardo Rodriguez is a veteran. And who am I missing? Oh, Nathan Eovaldi's been around too. So these guys can't function without Sandy Leon. None of them. Like, they need the training wheels, and I recognize that that's not what the last caller said. I'm just saying the people that are fixated on this part of it, that none of the Red Sox pitchers can function without Sandy Leon. Chris Sale, his career was made by Sandy Leon. Like, I can't go there yet. To me, this is about the pitching not being ready, and in the case of some people, the pitching being overrated. Which brings us to the guy that started last night. Wait till I give you the numbers on him.
Can we get a police escort to get Sandy Leon up from Pawtucket?
It's a good idea, Jimmy. Just like they did for Doug Mirabella to come back and catch Wake. It's a good idea. Maybe that's what it will come to because they're headed there. We'll give you the numbers on Nathan Eovaldi, whom all of you fell in love with last October, and I warned you that the contract was outrageous that the Red Sox gave him. We'll look at Eovaldi's performance so far this season and where it ranks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter's Tony Maserata show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
3-2 again, and Smoke drives the ball to deep center field. Bradley back, turns, watches, gone! Justin Smoke straightaway center field, 3-run home run to give the Blue Jays an early lead.
Everything in the at-bat was hard. Everything had been inside, and watch this ball goes out over the plate. Eovaldi knew it.
Rowdy Tellez skies the ball. Deep right field. Does it have enough? It does.
We talked about being able to throw 100 miles an hour, but if you can't locate it, it doesn't do you any good. Second home run of the inning, and a big inning it is for the Blue Jays.
Nate struggling that inning, but then he made some adjustments, gave us five, and it felt like the whole game we were in it. They scored five, we scored three. So it was a good effort.
And then there's Nathan Eovaldi, who became the latest Red Sox starter to go to the mound and give up another home run. And we're celebrating from going five innings to giving up five runs, but the reality is that that's a 9 ERA. He dug them a 5-0 hole. He wasn't good. Red Sox starters still don't have a win. Is that right?
That is correct.
We said that earlier because I'm getting it mixed up with the whole quality start thing. They have one quality start. That was Chris Sale in Oakland.
Right.
Zero wins. And as it pertains to Evaldi, rather, I told you this at the time. We all fell in love with Nathan Evaldi in October. We all did. And the reality is, I told you then when they re-signed him, I wanted them to re-sign Evaldi too. But I told you that $17 million was an insane amount of money for a guy like that. Insane. It really should have been somewhere around half of that. Okay, based on Evaldi's track record. So you want to know how bad Evaldi has been so far this year? And again, $17 million is still, you know, almost half of what David Price makes. But even so, here's what Evaldi has done so far this year. Among 90 qualifying pitchers in the major leagues, not just the American League, the majors, Evaldi ranks 85th in ERA. 85th out of 90 in ERA. The good news is that Chris Sale ranks 86th, which means Evaldi's one spot ahead of him. Okay, and I mean good news for Evaldi, bad news for you. In WHIP, Evaldi's 85th out of 90. This is a guy who throws hard, throws insanely hard, and typically doesn't walk people. And he's 85th in WHIP. He's allowed 14 runs, tied for 8th most among 90 pitchers. He's walked 10, tied for 5th most among those same 90. His 6 home runs, tied for most with Zach Greinke in all of the major leagues. And the OPS against him, 1,081, second highest in all of baseball. Nathan Evaldi has been throwing batting practice. Batting practice and giving up home runs at an alarming rate. And do I want to give him back? No. But I told you at the time, grossly overpaid. He's not that kind of, he's not this bad, but he was never that good either. Okay. And again, if you care, I wrote about it on our website today at 985thesportshub.com. That has some of the stats in there too. You can check it out there. Zach is in DC. Zach, go ahead.
Hey, Maz. I apologize in advance if I go a little crazy, but if I have to listen to another call, either in this show or the one before you, talking about how Sandy Leon is the secret weapon, I am going to throw my computer outside the window so hard it's going to land in your lap in Boston.
Maddening, right?
I mean,
it comes up every day. It's unbelievable.
I never would have thought that I would have to listen to the people of Boston saying, yeah, Sandy Leon, he's a secret weapon. He's going to every one of those guys, Chris Sale, Nathan Evaldi, David Price, they're big boys. They're pros. They should be able to throw no matter who's behind the plate. And, you know, we're putting words in their mouth and everything. They're not saying it's Sandy Leon's fault or anything. It's these people who keep calling and are just driving me crazy. And it's why I keep hoping that you guys bring the Carmine voice back, because that's all I hear when they start talking that, you know, Sandy Leon, his whip is, you know, this of this. And what's the curve rate on the ball that he throws back to the pitcher? It is disgusting, and I never would have thought we would reach a point,
Zach,
when we're saying that the catcher is the reason for all of our problems. They weren't ready to go. It's that simple. It's not a bad thing. We're going to be fine. It's April, but still, they weren't ready to go. It's not Sandy Leon's fault.
Okay, Zach, I'm going to let you go. Okay?
I understand, though. I think it more than anything else, I think it speaks to the desperation and confusion of Red Sox fans, because the start of the season is unfathomable. So, hey, how about we bring up Sandy Leon? I've been one of these people, because and my thing has been, you know how sensitive or oversensitive and what babies that baseball players can be, and their comfort is paramount to their success. So can it hurt bringing him back up, considering the numbers and the success they had with him last year? Like, I don't think that he's like the X factor, but screw it. Bring him up. Can it hurt?
No, it probably can't, but I'll tell you what. Like, I don't want that as a crutch either. And so the other thing is I want to see Swihart. I want to see Swihart more. I think Swihart still has a chance to be a player, and the Red Sox have a long-term issue at catcher, or longer-term. You know, Christian Vasquez is okay, you know, but his defense isn't so good anymore that it makes up for the lack of offense.
Sure.
So I would like to find out what Swihart could be, or at least find out if he can get better. Like, that to me, and you can always bring Leon back up. You can always do that.
Sandy Leon's WAR is 0.8, and his UZR is amazing. Get the police escort.
Well, there you go, Jimmy. Thank you, Carmine. That back as requested. And so, look, there are occasions where you look at it and you say a catcher can make a difference for a comfort reason. So if you want to tell me again, like Chris Sale specifically with a catcher who's caught him 90% of the time in his career is a little more effective when that guy's behind the plate, fine. You know, there are a million guys in baseball who had personal catchers. Greg Maddux had Eddie Perez, right? Trying to think of, you know, who were the recent ones in Red Sox history.
Roger Clemens had Damon Berryhill.
Okay, so,
and Tony Pena.
Yeah, so there are cases like that. And just to appease the superstar, you do it. But more often than not, it's in the guy's head. But when the whole staff is going bad, the whole staff, changing the catcher is going to make a difference? How's changing the catcher going to get Chris Sale to throw harder? Like, that's where I jump
Chris
off.
Sale, he had a better era with Leon behind the plate for his 18 games last season. Bring him up.
Alex is in the car. Alex, go.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of stole my thunder a little bit with the wins. Easily, yeah, I would give him the 1-0 win. You know, they did shut him down, but those other three games that they won, it's pretty ugly. But same thing with Sandy Leon. And what happens if they start turning it around at that point? Now, do we have to keep them up? You know, do we get rid of one of the catchers? I mean, I think the bench looks pretty good, you know, with the people they do have to come in and pinch hit. To bring up Leon, you're going to be putting a crutch on yourself when it comes into a late inning. You know, hopefully you can get, Mitch Moreland? Who would you put down?
Okay, so Alex, honestly, I don't even worry about that part. Like, you'll find someone to get rid of, or you come up with a phantom injury and stick Brock Holt.
The bench sucks.
On the DL. Thank you, Carmine. It's a terrible bench. It is. Sandy Leon, if he could help, I'd be all for having him here. And he could probably help a little, but he's not going to help so much that your starting pitchers are all of a sudden going to get back to being who they are. Like, just magically turn into who they were. I just don't believe that. So, you know, to me, the bottom line is the pitchers have to get better. The Red Sox chose a path in spring training to really bring the pitchers along slowly, and they thought they could get away with it. They're 4-9. And the four wins, white knuckles hanging by your fingernails for each of those wins. Every single one of them. Really. We'll go through them again if you want. But you've had some last at-bat wins there. 7-6 with Moreland's pinch hit three-run homer. You have the next one where Mookie Betts hit the ball off the bag on third base in Oakland. The 1-0 game of last night, that's it. Those are your four wins. Absolute freaking fire drills, all of them. Scary. Scary. They're lucky to be 4-9.
Do the Red Sox bench on your own time.
Exactly. I'm not worried about the bench. I'm worried about the starting pitchers. The good news, the team that's in here for the next four games is among the worst in baseball, and they might have the biggest bum in the game playing for them right now. We'll tell you who that is, and we'll give you the DraftKings Fantasy Pick of the Week next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Swing and a miss. Davis down on strikes. And just like that, Davis strikes out. Strike three called. Davis took another one.
How about this poor bastard? Chris Davis of the Orioles. I mean, I say poor. He's got this ginormous contract, right? I should have looked this up before we came back on the break.
Oh, yeah, no. It's like Bobby Bonilla-esque.
So, you know what? I'm going to punch him up here as we're talking, Murray. But if you know that anything about me, you know that I can't type. I hunt and peck. No, I'm not kidding.
No, I know. I'm
a two-finger typist. I can go fast, but I have to be looking at the keyboard. Chris Davis is in the middle. Oh, my God. He's...
Oh, no, it's tremendous.
He's in the middle of a 7-year, $161 million contract. That is $23 million a year. Okay, $23 million a year. There's some deferred money in there, so the luxury tax hit is a little less than that. And he still has, after this year, three more years to go. 2020, 2021, and 2022. Okay, Chris Davis is signed through 2022. He is currently in the midst of an 0-for-53 dating back to last season. He is hitless in 53 at-bats. And this year, he is 0-for-32 with 16 strikeouts. Chris Davis doesn't have a hit yet. The 0-for-53 is a major league record. Murray and Jimmy Stewart, have you ever seen anything like this?
No. No, never in my life.
Didn't Tim Nehring have an 0-for-37 streak with the Red Sox?
Very good, Jimmy. How'd you remember that?
That's my baseball prime. I'm a baseball fan. I love
Seriously,
that stuff.
Good job. I was just going to say, a lot of people don't remember Tim Nehring.
Definitely.
He also had a bad haircut that season, too.
Tim Nehring had an 0-for-37 as a member of the Red Sox. And Nehring was a pretty good player. I mean, he was hurt all the time, but when Nehring was out there, he was good.
Turned out to be a better executive with the Yankees and the Reds.
But exactly. But Chris Davis, you know, someone said, boy, it's amazing. How does a guy like that stay in the big leagues? And the answer is two things. One, the contract. Right, the Orioles suck, so there's no need to cut him because they don't really have a spot for anybody else.
Right, they're on the hook anyway.
So. Also has a limited no-trade clause.
I mean, so you might as well just continue to carry him. And what did he hit? He hit like 168 last year. I think he was the worst positional player.
That is correct.
In Major League Baseball last year based on OPS.
I think he had 200 strikeouts also.
Career worst, 168, 49 RBI, 16 home runs.
Of course, he has two RBI this year, which is still one more than Jackie Bradley has, even though he doesn't have a hit.
Chris Davis from 2023 to 2037 gets $42 million.
Okay, in deferred money.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. It
14 years of $42 million.
I mean, wow. Like, talk about a guy who has hit the bottom of the barrel. 0-for-32 this year, 16 strikeouts, 0-for-53 going back to last year. He is not in the lineup tonight. Because Eduardo Rodriguez is pitching for the Red Sox, that's a left-on-left matchup. But, in theory, first of all, you will see Davis in this series. And second, you could see him in the late innings as a pinch hitter. I don't know if they're pinch hitting him. But, Murray, with the way the Red Sox are going, don't you think this is precisely the place where the streak will end?
Oh, of course. It's one of the reasons to watch this weekend. At some point, he's going to have to get in there. I mean, obviously not tonight with Rodriguez, but, yeah. If he's going to get off the schneid against any team, it's the Red Sox, the way that they've been going so far.
And if you're looking for something to watch tonight, obviously the Bruins are in playing game two tomorrow night. Celtics are playing game one on Sunday, both of which you can listen to on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And then the Red Sox have the Patriots Day game on Monday. So if you're looking for something to do tonight, though, the Red Sox Orioles are certainly on the list. Anthony's in Weymouth. Anthony, what do you got, pal?
Yeah, I was just going to state... aside from the bromance for Lester and Ross, unless you're Tim Wakefield, this personal catcher thing, a fastball is still a fastball. I'm blaming the catcher as the reason we're losing is absolutely absurd, and I agree with you guys on it.
So Lester and David Ross is a good one. I was going to say Lester had been to him for the life of me. I couldn't remember who it was. But it was David Ross. Lester wanted David Ross behind the plate. And if you remember, actually, as it turned out back in 2013, putting Ross in and taking Salta Lamacchia out was sort of a critical moment in that series. I hope the Red Sox come back and win the World Series against the St. Louis Cardinals. Again, sorry, it's late in the week here. My voice is starting to desert me. Typically on Thursday nights, we do DraftKings Pick of the Week, Fantasy Pick of the Week. So because the Bruins were on last night, we had extended program for Felger and Mavs. We didn't have a baseball reporters. We'll do it tonight. And the Fantasy Pick of the Week is brought to you by DraftKings. Play free fantasy baseball this season with the promo code BOSTON. When you make your first deposit on DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball, again, the code is BOSTON. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So, look, what I like to do in these matchups, and if you remember when we did this for the first time last week, Murray, do you remember who the fantasy pick was last week?
No.
Nick Markakis of the Braves.
Oh, right. Did he go like 4-for-5 or something?
5-for-5.
Yeah.
He went 5-for-5 with 3 RBI, 5 runs, 3 runs scored, 5 RBI. Okay, so, and this is all sort of built upon the pick I had last year in the World Series of Steve Pierce's World Series MVP. So here's what I like to do. You always got to find your budget picks in fantasy. And I know you're not a fantasy player, Murray. But
no, but I know you're good at this, though, because sometimes I hear you over there, you know, tapping away and looking at me like, oh, my lineup last night, and you're crowing about your winning. So I know you're good at this. People okay. should be paying attention.
So here you go. You're always going to need some low-budget guy in your lineup that's a good matchup, and you know, but you can get for affordable dollars. So I'm going to give you a good one tonight, and it's actually in the Red Sox team that you can watch. Joey Rickard for the Orioles. Hits left-handed pitching pretty well. He's one of your classic, you know, play only against lefties guys, but he can hit against lefties. For $3,400, you can get Joey Rickard against Eduardo Rodriguez, and his matchup numbers against Eduardo Rodriguez, 5-for-15 with a home run. Okay? So he hits E-Rod. He hits lefties. They're playing, facing a lefty tonight. They're in a ballpark that is favorable to right-handed batters who can pull the ball, particularly for a batting average. I'm not guaranteeing a home run, but to me it feels like a good way to go to maybe get a few points if you're looking for that sort of thing. 617-779-0985. We'll wrap it up with your calls and give you the big wide matchup of the game when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tell you this Chris Davis story, the more I dig into it. He batted 168 last year. I said I think that was the worst among all positional players in Major League Baseball qualified for the batting title. He had the lowest OPS. Murray said, yeah, that's right. He was the worst positional player in the major leagues last year. I undersold it. The 168 batting average for Chris Davis last year was the lowest in history for any player who ever had enough at-bats to qualify for the batting title. Right? To qualify for the batting title, I think it's 502, 501, I don't remember exactly. 502, I think. 502 plate appearances you need, not at-bats. So there's sort of a thing there of like, you have to be good enough to play every day or get the plate appearances and still suck enough that you set a record. It's a hard thing to do. This is the equivalent of, do you remember years ago there was a pitcher for the Mets named Anthony Young? Who was a right-handed pitcher. Jimmy, didn't he lose like
15 in a row?
No, more. Google it. Someone should Google it real quick.
Okay.
I don't mean to bark at you. But like, I want to say it was like 22 decisions in a row he lost. Something like that. It was a major league record.
27 consecutive decisions.
Okay, 27. Wow, that's a 27. Like, that is almost two seasons for crying out loud for a lot of guys. He was a starter. And so, but the Mets kept sending him out there because he was competitive. It was like some of it was bad luck. If you suck that bad, you get sent to the minor leagues. You don't get to hang around. And it's a similar thing with Chris Davis. Like, so at some point here, I'll tell you what's going to be cool. When he gets a hit, I bet you he'll get a standing ovation. And it'll be for sure.
So especially if it's in Baltimore, for definitely.
And so, but I think in some cases, like some of the fans in Baltimore are cheering him when he comes to bat now. If I read this right, even though you know before the at bat to try to get him through it. So it is one of those sort of oddly bizarre stories where you're so bad that they start cheering for you to get you through it.
Young, of course, made 27 consecutive starts without a win. He made 13 quality starts among those 27. His teams went 4-23, low ball two.
Okay, so Murray, this is now when producers aren't listening, right? Mo is in Rosendale. Mo, what do you got?
Hey, buddy. How's it going? Big fan of the show. So I actually just wanted to quickly about Davis. I actually did a little research the other day, and I actually found an article in the Baltimore Sun back in 2013 where they were interviewing Davis, and it was kind of like asking him about the kind of like the allegations going around the city about him starting using steroids that year, because I think his numbers drastically went up. And he actually also failed a drug test 1 year for amphetamines. But so anyway, I read a lot of blogs and posts, and I guess kind of what the speculation going on in Baltimore is that when he kind of stopped using steroids because he kind of didn't want his contract to get voided, because I think if you test positive, the
Mo, the short answer is that he stopped using steroids, and this is why he sucks.
And yeah, that's what they're saying in Baltimore. The people in Baltimore, they're kind of blogging and talking about that, and it's been since 2013.
Okay, yep, I got you. I'm going to let you go. Entirely possible. I mean, I rule out nothing. Jason Giambi turned into garbage after he gave up steroids. So I'll tell you what, let's look at the numbers. Okay, in 2013, Chris Davis hit 286.
Yeah, like 54 home runs, 53 home runs.
53 homers and 138 RBI. He finished third in the MVP voting. He was 27. 286. The next year, 196. The year after that, 262. So he had a good year in 2015. 262 with an OPS of 923, and he had 47 homers. And then since then, in the last three full seasons in this one, he is batting a combined 198 with an OPS of 683. He has 622 strikeouts in 424 games and just 302 hits. He's twice as likely to strike out as he is to get a hit. And he's good for a strikeout and a half a game. Holy crap. How's this guy still in the big leagues? Quickly, Scott is in a car on Sandy Leone. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Tony. I just had to comment. I can't take it anymore. I mean, all these people who are saying it, that all of a sudden these pitchers forgot how to pitch, stop calling and saying it because you're embarrassing yourself. Sale, Price, Pocello, they pitched pretty well before they got Sandy Leone, so enough is enough.
Scott, I'll tell you, it does. It gets idiotic is what it does. Now, look, I'm not telling you that. You know, if you see a little dip in a certain pitcher during the course of the year because his catcher's on the DL and they're out of whack and it becomes mental, fine. Like, yes, it can make a difference. We've all seen it. There are guys who have personal catchers. But for the whole staff to go down the toilet? The whole staff. And veteran guys on top of it who are making big money. I mean, it just gets stupid. It does. It gets absolutely, positively stupid. Big Y matchup of the game, presented by Big Y World Class Market. Big Y serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Now, this is an exclusive thing for the Red Sox, who admittedly will take any break they can get to win a game right now. Their chances tonight feel pretty good. This guy pitching for the Orioles, David Hess, has faced Andrew Benintendi five times. Benintendi's 2-for-5 with two homers. J.D. Martinez has faced him two times and has two homers. So combine those two guys, 4-for-7 with four home runs against David Hess. Adam Jones is coming up next with Kristen Arcand alongside. Arcand, do I see you walking around in a boot?
That's a yes. He's hang on. He's up.
Right? Yeah, had a bit of a procedure yesterday, but I'm good. Everything's fine.
Can you share details? This is a personal matter.
Yeah, it's just I had a cyst on my foot. They took it off. I thought it was going to be a much smaller procedure.
A cyst or a bunion?
A cyst, and they ended up really digging in there and getting it, so I got to limp around now.
What is a bunion?
So this wasn't like malignant or anything?
No.
Just benign.
Benign.
A benign cyst.
Yep.
Okay. Bunyan, I don't know.
I told you it wasn't a good story, man.
Allegedly. Okay, turn your mic off now.
All right.
Allegedly, you can like forecast the weather or something if you have a bunion, right?
It's a painful bony bump that develops on the inside of the foot at the big toe joint. That's what a bunion is.
And it swells like if it's going to rain.
Yes. Is that true?
Yeah. Like something like that.
It's like people who have knee surgery, they can tell that the rainstorm's coming or something like that?
Yeah. Clearly, Bruce Schwegler doesn't have one.
Not to be confused with Paul Bunyan, the giant lumberjack of American folklore.
Okay, Pac-Man, what do you got?
Oh, well, we're going to start with just that wonderful performance from the Bruins last night. Ready to go, huh? Not just the fans and media in this town overlooking the Maple Leafs. Apparently, it's the Bruins themselves overlooking Toronto. So we'll start with that. We're going to get to a few Celtics thoughts as well. And we're inching up on draft season. I know you guys are ready to chuck around your markers. When does that start? Next week?
Week from Monday.
Week from Monday.
22nd, yep, nice. Draft week.
Okay, so we're starting a little draft coverage tonight ourselves. So we'll begin that in the 9 o'clock hour with tight ends, 10 o'clock hour with wide receivers.
Okay, so there you go. Jones will have you here in just a second. Jimmy, you know what just occurred to me real fast? This last segment on Fridays before the weekend, it's a good time to maybe introduce a couple of other things. Next week, I'm going to tell you about my new personal experience with the weighted blanket. Okay.
Oh, those things are the balls.
See, Murray knows. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. That's a tease. That's a Friday to Friday tease right there. Murray's Get Your Headlines, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.